Welcome to the College Admissions Process Podcast presented by Prep Expert. Prep Expert offers live online SAT and ACT courses with the best score guarantees, instructors, and curriculum. Go to prepexpert.com to guarantee your child's success. Welcome to The Cap, where we are here to speak with college reps and other professionals in the field of college admissions to help answer all your questions and guide you through every step of the process. So if you're serious about college admissions, you've come to the right place. Are you ready? Let's talk about it. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Durante. Welcome to The Cap, the College Admissions Process Podcast. I am your host, John Durante, and I am here to introduce you to college admissions representatives and other professionals in the field of college admissions. Our purpose is to serve you, the students and parents, so that you may gain insight straight from the people who ultimately make the decisions. Regardless of whether you apply to a particular school being highlighted in a given episode, you should listen to all of them, as each guest will give you tremendous insight and advice on every aspect of the college admissions process, prompting you to come up with your own follow-up questions for when you visit campus or meet with a college admissions representative yourself. Don't forget to visit our website, www.collegeadmissionstalk.com, or the show notes of each episode to access the alphabetical list of all the colleges available with the related audio link to the right of each school. The alphabetical list provides you with on-demand access to all of the episodes so that you may listen whenever you wish. And if you want to receive links to episodes before they are released on the podcast, along with other related resources, please fill out the email opt-in form also available on our website and in the show notes of each episode. Lastly, please email me with any questions or comments at collegeadmissionstalk@gmail.com. So are you ready? Let's talk about it. Welcome to The Cap, the College Admissions Process Podcast. I am your host, John Durante, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome back Suzanne Miller, who's the Assistant Director of Admissions at SUNY Geneseo. Suzanne, welcome back. So glad to have you. How are you?
Doing great, John. Thank you so much for having me back. It's an exciting time in college admissions, as always.
It's definitely an exciting time in college admissions, and equally as exciting to have you back. So, Suzanne, thank you again for recording episode 6, which, of course, was on SUNY Geneseo. But you were also here recording episode 58, along with your colleague, Kate Anderson, regarding the Common Application. So, Suzanne, can you provide us with any significant updates or changes over the past few years since we last spoke in terms of your academic programs or your many clubs that students participate in?
Absolutely. A very exciting shift in how Geneseo is now situated within the SUNY system is that our new designation as New York's Public Honors College. So what does that mean to be an honors college? Well, when you look at an honors college experience, it's usually defined as a place with close interaction with professors, a lot of independent learning that can happen, collaboration with professors and classmates, a very supportive environment, an intellectual environment. We have enhanced learning opportunities. Resources and facilities are top notch. So the governor herself, whose son attended Geneseo, made a statement one day that Geneseo really is an honors college experience. And we've run with that. And it is truly, when you think about it, an honors college experience. So, but we also call it an equity-minded honors college experience. So we're not inaccessible. We are a place where students can come and thrive and really get a leg up on their intellectual development. And the outcomes are outstanding. So the honors college experience is evolving at Geneseo. It is a new distinction, and we're very proud to have that. If you look at other colleges or other large institutions that have maybe an honors college within their larger institution, that's the experience they're trying to replicate, yet it's something that right. we have done extraordinarily well
absolutely
throughout our history. So we're really running with this. We're developing exciting programs and these enhanced learning experiences. It's really wonderful angle that we have now, and it's a wonderful place for students to grow intellectually, personally, professionally. So we're very proud of that. And as a result of all these great things that are happening at Geneseo, we're proud that we hit the top 10 in the Fisk Guide for a public Best Buy college list.
That's so awesome.
Top 10 in the, and within all of the public institutions in the country, we're a top 10 Best Buy.
Wow, college that's is expensive. Fantastic. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. College is expensive, and you want to get the best bang for your buck. And so being in that top 10 list just validates what we already know about the high quality of a Geneseo education. A major construction project that I'd like to highlight is our library. Our library has been undergoing renovation, a massive $35 million renovation for the past 4 years. Yeah. A really great thing about being part of the SUNY system is that huge projects like this are often paid for by the state. So the money doesn't come out of the students' pockets. So we were slated for this big $35 million renovation for our library, and it kind of coincided with COVID. So times when students really weren't around, or when a lot of things were online anyway, we utilized that time, got that project going, and the library, it will be reopening in the fall. So that's very, very exciting. And there's all kinds of construction projects happening. Find a college campus that doesn't have construction, really. I mean, it's called progress, right?
Absolutely.
So that's very exciting. It's going to have big, beautiful windows, updated equipment, a cafe. It's great. We've had a library for the past few years, an interim library, but now this is going to be very exciting. We love this. But even, I think maybe even more exciting is we have a few new majors that were just announced, and it's very timely that we're recording this today. We've always had a fantastic physics major. Geneseo is a destination institution for anyone wanting to study physics. We have a particle accelerator. We have incredible faculty. So we have the number one physics department among colleges our size. We're a smaller school of about 4,000 students. So physics has always been a very hot commodity on our campus, but now we're adding an astrophysics major.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's very exciting. We are adding a philosophy, political science, and economics bachelor's. That's a combined degree that combines all three of those disciplines. That's a really cool major for students who maybe want to go into public policy, go on to law school, or just students who are interested in that and seeing where it takes them. There's our geological sciences bachelor's has three new tracks: geology, environmental geology, and planetary geography. So that planetary geology and astrophysics kind of can overlap a little bit, perhaps. Our musical theater program has been a Bachelor of Arts. And then a few years ago, a degree called a Bachelor of Professional Studies was added, which is now transitioning into a BFA. So to have a BFA in musical theater is a very big deal. It's audition based, as was our BA, but this has far more courses that involve the performance aspect. So we're very excited for that. Some other majors that are on the newer side, I don't remember if they were part of our institution when we recorded last time. We have a major in marketing, a major in finance. Those were minors before. They're majors now. Sustainability studies is a major. And when students ask about environmental studies or environmental science, I say, well, we don't have a major that's called that, but sustainability studies is kind of that, but with a modern twist. Okay, you're going to study the environmental science, but here's what you can do with it. And that, of course, also goes along with the new environmental geology track. So there'll be a little bit of overlap there. And we also have music business recording and production. That's new. We're getting some new equipment. It's very exciting. And a new master's program in history has started. We're really an undergraduate institution, 4,000 undergraduates with maybe 80 to 100 graduate students. So the focus really is on the undergraduate world, but we do have the master's in history. We have a couple of master's programs in education and in accounting. So lots of things happening. In terms of clubs, there's always new stuff going on because, you know, at every college, they're going to say, oh, we have this many clubs. And if there's a club that we don't have that you want, you can create it. And that is true at any school. So, I mean, that's nothing special, but at Geneseo, that's absolutely possible. So we have so many cool clubs. One that I do want to bring up, which I see is fairly unique, is for students who are interested in writing or creative writing, there is a SUNY-wide literary magazine that called Gandhi Dancer. And it's opened all 64 campuses of SUNY. Students from all 64 campuses can contribute and submit work for this literary magazine. But the literary magazine is actually edited at Geneseo by Geneseo students.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I learned about, that's not a new thing, but it's something I learned about recently. And I think that's very impressive. So yeah, lots going on.
Well, that's awesome. You have 4,000 undergraduate students. Number one, you talked about the fact that that library, which was already thriving, is undergoing a $35 million renovation. And you talked about your many majors, including astrophysics. You talked about the fact that you've always had physics, but now it's astrophysics. You gave some examples of your interdisciplinary programs that combined philosophy, economics major, which is awesome. Musical theater has now a new degree. It's a bachelor's of professional studies, and many other majors, including marketing, finance, and music, just to name a few.
Yep. If I could just correct you for a moment.
Yes, please.
It was a BPS, and now it's turned into a BFA.
A BPS to a BFA. Thank you so much for that.
Right.
I appreciate it.
It's now Bachelor of Fine Arts. And BFA is really the industry standard. Mm-hmm. So other institutions that have BFAs, we can now compete with them.
No, I appreciate that. And you also talked about your clubs, but specifically 64 SUNY campuses. There's a SUNY-wide literary magazine, but that magazine, although 64 campuses participate, it's edited at the great SUNY Geneseo, which I think is terrific, Suzanne. Thank you so much for sharing that. And have you seen over the years a significant increase in the number of your overall applications? And are there any new trends or changes in your holistic approach?
We have seen a significant increase in applications over the past few years. This year, we received over 16,000 applications for freshman and transfer admission, which blew us away. And last year, we had about 14,000. So, that, I mean, that was a huge increase. And the previous year, we had even fewer. So we've seen a lot of things growing. Why has that happened? You know, there are a couple of different thoughts. You know, we're still in that test optional world. Mm-hmm. So students who may have been reluctant to apply to SUNY Geneseo in the past because maybe their scores didn't meet what our averages are more comfortable applying. Also, the past 2 years and this year coming up, SUNY has provided a 2-week free application period. So students can apply to up to 5 SUNY schools for free. Because applications, when you apply for college, most of the time colleges have a application fee. Ours, all SUNY 4-year schools had an application fee of $50 per school. So this would save families up to $250. So perhaps the increase in applications over the past couple of years has been partially due to the fact that students can just throw an application in at no cost. And in addition to no cost, if they're not sending test scores, they're not paying for that either, because students who send official test scores have to pay for that as well. So perhaps that's why they've gone up so much. We're a well-established institution with a great reputation. It's not surprising that we get a lot of applications. You know, when students are tasked with making their college list, here in New York State, very often they are encouraged to have 1 or 2 SUNY schools on their list because it's a good financial decision, mm-hmm. because we're lower cost. So we know that we're often that choice. But that's, those are a variety of reasons. So this and the test optional movement is still going strong. We are continuing to be test optional. I don't see that we're going to add that requirement again. In terms of any changes to our holistic review, I would say that we've gotten even more holistic. And for folks who are not sure what that term means, holistic means that we are really reviewing everything in the application. the transcript, the letters of recommendation, the essay, the activities, all of the different pieces of the application are very important. And now that we are really missing the data point of the test scores, everything else has been increased in importance. The transcript is as important as ever. We don't just take that computed GPA, because each high school is so different and each student within each high school is so different. So if I see two transcripts side by side with an identical with identical GPAs, maybe they both have, 92 GPAs, I then have to dig deeper and see, well, what were the courses that each student took? So we carefully dissect the transcripts. We will count the number of years of English, social studies, math, science, foreign language. We will check out the level of math. We will count the number of AP courses, IB courses, dual enrollment. Dual enrollment is when students are taking classes in high school while earning college credit at the same time. Many high schools have relationships with schools like that. Also IB, if are there any international baccalaureate schools, we will note all of those courses as well, because the rigor of curriculum shows college readiness. If a student is taking a rigorous curriculum, we know that they're better prepared for college level work. So many factors. I guess a big change, though, has been when we start reading applications. We had our first year of early action 2 years ago. This is our third cycle with early action. We had been an early decision, regular decision school. So with our early action deadline of November 15th, we receive thousands of applications by early November, and they're ready to be read. So that's something that's changed dramatically, is when we start reading. So I start reading in earnest by November 1st. And personally, I read over 2,000 applications last year. It's a lot. So yeah, that's where we are right now.
Well, you mentioned so many things, so let's unpackage it. First of all, you started by saying that you absolutely have seen an increase in applications with 16,000 applications in the last cycle. And you mentioned earlier that your overall population is 4,000 undergraduate students. And the increase in applications is attributed to perhaps the test optional nature of college admissions, as you mentioned, but also that great program that SUNY has regarding their free SUNY application. I was very curious, as a state school, what is your institutional priority in terms of how many students you want in that freshman class? And are there any limits in terms of how many out-of-state students you're able to accept?
Sure. We were looking for a class of about 1,200 new students. And we're very close to that for this fall. We're very excited. Between the first year and transfer students that we're bringing in, we're right at about that mark. So we're thrilled with the outcome. Do we have limitations on out-of-state students? We really don't. Mm-hmm. We are an institution that serves primarily New York State students. About 95% of our students do come from New York State. We are seeing a slow increase in out-of-state students represented on campus, as well as international students. We do have a nice crop of international students that find their way to SUNY Geneseo. We're so very close to the Ohio border, Pennsylvania border, New Jersey border, that we are seeing a slight uptick in those states showing up on campus. Because even out of state, we're still a bargain, with our out-of-state tuition being about $10,000 more than in-state, you're looking at under $35,000 all in, which is actually pretty darn close to what a lot of even state schools cost for those in-state students. And we do have relationships with several different states, with New Jersey, with Maryland, and there might be a few others, I'm not sure, where if those students come to us, they will pay what their in-state tuition is, as if they were attending their own state school. So we
That's
do have
really
those,
good to know.
Yeah, we have those partnerships. We really don't have a limit.
Mm-hmm. I do appreciate you talked about the fact that there are no limits in terms of out-of-state or even international students. Yeah. You did mention, again, 16,000 applications. your institutional priority in terms of that freshman class, you're looking at somewhere around 1,200 students. And I just mentioned those numbers just so students understand proportionately how many applications you receive and what it is that you want that freshman class to be, so that they are mindful of creating that balanced list, likely schools, reach schools, and what have you. I think it's very important. Now, earlier, you also mentioned the fact that you recalculate the GPA, which makes a lot of sense. You want to level the playing field. You're getting applications from hundreds, if not thousands, of high schools. So when you recalculate that GPA, are you looking just at the core subjects, or are you looking at all subjects?
Yeah, when we recalculate, we're really just looking at the core, because at some high schools, electives are included in the overall GPA, and really great elective grades can elevate a GPA, where it's really the core classes that we need to focus on to show college readiness. So we pull out the grades in the core classes, those five core classes: English, social studies, math, science, and foreign language. And then, of course, there are those, you know, those electives that are academic in nature, you know, psychology, things like that. So we will acknowledge those grades as well. And we do recreate a GPA on a 4-point scale. That's really important, because there are some high schools that weight grades, their weighting system is so heavy that a student can have a 95 GPA. Wow, that looks great. But then when you really pull out those academic classes, their core can be below a 3.0, which is you know, below B average. So it's so important that we do that, because it's not about getting into a school. It's about thriving. And if we're bringing in students that are not academically prepared and they can't stay, that's no good for anybody. You know, it's not about, did I do enough to get in? It's, am I showing that I'm academically prepared to be successful? That's the mind shift that I really try to put out there.
Well, that's a great point. And it's true, right? Students, you want to work on that transcript over your 4 years of high school. Build ramps, challenge yourself based on what's there, and hopefully perform well. Do all you can to perform well, because admissions counselors, obviously they're admissions counselors. They're not rejection counselors. They want to admit you. But they also want to admit you, knowing that once you're on their campus, you're able to handle the rigors of that work. Would you agree, Suzanne?
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. I'm an admissions nerd. I'll tell you right now. I read a lot. I play on websites that give really interesting statistics. And it's no wonder that the more selective a school is, the higher the retention rate, which means retention rate. That term is the number of students, the percentage of students that return for sophomore year after the first year. And the more selective a school, the higher the retention rate. Well, there are so many factors that contribute to that, but I think the number one factor is preparedness for college.
And such a great point.
Yep. And if students are really well prepared for college, they're admitted to a highly selective school, they're better students. So they're able to handle the academics. So that's kind of the name of the game. Like, you show them what you can do. You go to a school that fits you well academically, and that's a recipe for success.
Well, that's terrific. And I want to unpackage a lot more of what you mentioned earlier. You did mention the test optional nature of admissions. So how has the test optional policy impacted your admissions process over the past few years? And have you observed any differences in the application review or even outcomes for students who submit their test scores compared to those that do not?
Sure. We are entering a year where everyone on campus was able to apply as a test optional applicant. Because if you think about, you know, 2020 was when we became test optional. We were in the middle of global pandemic. Test sites weren't available. We all had to become, and by the way, Geneseo was about to become a test optional institution before this all happened. We had a proposal all written up. It was going to go to our board to say, hey, we believe in test optional. And this was all discussed in our big fall meetings right in the fall of 2019. We were all excited about becoming a test optional institution. And then the pandemic hit and forced us to become test optional. So we were like, okay, let's just run with it and we'll continue with it. So we were fine with that. What has it done? Okay. I actually had the folks in my office pull some numbers. Believe it or not, for this fall, only 10.5% of our applicants submitted scores.
Wow.
What do you think
That's
of that?
That's amazing. That really is amazing. Right? I didn't think the number would be that low, but I'm glad you shared that because a lot of the people think that even though the representatives talk about the test optional nature of their review, they do think it's a myth. So only 10.5% submitted applications. I'm curious, what about your accepted class? What percentage of the accepted class submitted test scores?
92% of our admitted students did not submit test scores.
Wow. So 10.5% actually submitted, but 92% of your admitted students did not submit test scores. So, you know, I'm glad you shared that data because, again, many people think it's a myth, but clearly it's certainly not at SUNY Geneseo and so many other schools that are on the podcast or not. Right. So, Suzanne, have there been any changes in how merit-based scholarships are awarded in terms of the test optional nature of admissions? And are students who don't submit test scores at any disadvantage?
They are not at any disadvantage whatsoever. We actually do not use test scores in any way when awarding merit scholarships. So just take that off your mind. Perfect. And it's just, then we all know that there are students out there who may have a mediocre high school record, but they're phenomenal test takers. Mm-hmm. Somebody like that, they might get a little help getting admitted to Geneseo if they do want to submit those scores, but they're not going to get a merit scholarship. That doesn't help them in that way at all because we just don't even use them.
Good to know. Thank you so much. And you kind of touched upon this earlier when we were talking about the overall GPA and how you recalculate it. But when one school offers over 20 AP courses and another one perhaps offers 10, and maybe that school has limitations in terms of how many AP courses you could take as an 11th or even 12th grader, how do you differentiate those two applications or those two types of students that are applying to SUNY Geneseo?
Well, for one thing, we do not compare students from one school to another. Right. It's not fair. It's not, it's like apples and oranges. There's really no way to do that. And for my territory, I represent Geneseo on Long Island. So Nassau and Suffolk counties on Long Island. And it's enough. There's a lot. There are a couple hundred high schools down here. I try to get into as many as I can. And the beauty of the consistency that this will be my 7th year traveling for and working with SUNY Geneseo and reading applications. I get to know the different high schools really well. I know which schools offer APs, AP courses, IB courses, dual enrollment, or none of the above. There are high schools that, like some private schools, that have their own curriculum that is very challenging. And I know I can read that school and understand that even though there's nothing on the transcript that says honors or AP or IB, I know the level of that curriculum. There are a couple of different ways that we get to know the schools. First, just institutional memory. The fact that I have been reading these applications now going into my 7th year. I have a really good sense of what's available at each high school. Also, each high school provides a document called a school profile. Mm-hmm. And that school profile will list what the curriculum is like in the schools, how many of each kinds of courses are offered. Then very often they will list all of the AP courses that are available, all of the IB courses, the dual enrollment, anything special that a school offers, any kind of there are schools that have special business courses. Like there's this Academy of Finance that some schools have. So I evaluate each student based on the environment that they're in. If a student took, one AP course and the high school offers 30, I go, huh, I wonder why they didn't challenge themselves more when they were capable of the work. If a student takes 10 and then I see that there are only 10 available, that student really pushed themselves. So we take a look at where they are and how they took advantage of their opportunities.
This is your host, John Durante, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome back Sean Patel, who's the founder and CEO of Prep Expert. Sean, welcome back.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me. And I'm so excited to announce that Prep Expert is the official title sponsor of the College Admissions Process Podcast. This has been a partnership in the works for a while now, and I'm so glad we got it off the ground. We're so excited to work with families, parents, students of the College Admissions Process Podcast at Prep Expert to help them through our live online SAT and ACT courses, not only improve their SAT and ACT scores, but help them get into college as well as win hundreds of thousands of dollars in college scholarships. Thank you so much for the partnership, and we are so excited to work with your families.
Thank you, Sean. And to learn more about how Prep Expert can support your child's academic journey, visit prepexpert.com today, and best wishes to all. Well, I appreciate that because you did a great job explaining how you look at the student based on the context of their high school. You're not comparing one student's high school to another. However, I'm also glad that you emphasize how you really get to know the different high schools in your region. You happen to be the Long Island rep, as you mentioned, Nassau and Suffolk County. You know, between the publics and the privates, there's definitely a couple of hundred high schools. And it's great that you get to know them inside and out, the level of curriculum, limitations, what's available, what's not, what's weighted, what is not. And I'm glad you also mentioned that school profile, which gives you, or frankly, anyone new, you're not new to the role, but a new counselor, a new admissions counselor to the role, they're definitely going to look at the school profile so that they could get all of this information that we mentioned and so much more. And it's really a good message to students and their parents. If you're not familiar with your own high school profile, you should reach out to your counseling office. Many times it's simply available on the school's website just to familiarize yourself in terms of how the admissions counselors, whether it's SUNY Geneseo or frankly any college, sees your high school and what they know about it from, again, that school profile.
Yeah. So, and it's, I think, yeah, I'm sorry. I was saying it's really important. Think about how SUNY Geneseo and a lot of the SUNY schools, we're so focused on New York State and we are so focused within our territory. So we get to know our territories really well. But just say you're a student who is applying to schools all over the country, and maybe they don't get very many applications from your school. It's really important that that document is clear and is full of information. So just say you decide to apply to, I don't know, Grinnell College in, where's it, in Iowa, where they may not get a lot of
applications. It's been on the podcast. It's been on the podcast.
Oh, they have? Okay, great. I just pulled it out. My cousin went there, so I pulled it out. So that whoever's reading the application might not be familiar with your high school.
Right.
So yeah, definitely do your due diligence. Make sure that there is a good document going along with, and they are typically sent along electronically with every high school transcript.
Yep, absolutely. That's exactly what happens. Usually schools send that electronically, as Suzanne said, with the transcript. So we appreciate that. And so another big topic of discussion is always that college essay, that personal statement, if you will. So what are you looking for when reading the college essay, Suzanne? And can you share an example of one that really stuck with you?
Oh, boy, I have read thousands, and I mean thousands. And I've also helped many, many, many students with their essays. Part of my role as a local admissions counselor is I'm in high schools. High schools often have these programs where students come in, they bring a draft of their essay, and we read them and give them feedback. And
that's terrific.
So yeah, I've done webinars on the college essay writing. I do a lot of public speaking at high schools about the college essay. It's something I'm really passionate about. The number one thing, truly, is the writing skill. The topic is not nearly as important as how you write about it. Proofread it as many times as you can. When you think it's done, step away from it, come back to it a day or two later and read it again. Break it up into paragraphs. When I'm reading my 75th application of the day and I pull up the essay and it's one big block of text, I have to take a breath and get myself ready for it because it is very difficult to read. So sounds kind of basic, but those simple steps, if you take those simple steps, you're ahead of the game. So proofread it very carefully, break it up into manageable paragraphs for us to read, and you know, just make sure the writing skill is there. And authenticity is key. Sometimes I'm reading an essay and it's so complex. The sentence structure is complex. the punctuation, you know, a lot of semicolons and transition words and two spaces after a period, then I know an adult has really had their hands in it.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore, the two space after the period, right?
not anymore. So what's really stuck with me? You know, I love the stories of resilience. Mm-hmm. When students have gone through something and they write about it in a way that is authentic and sounds like a teenager.
Right.
And now when I say resilience, I mean, if you're going to write about something that you had to overcome, maybe the first third of the essay, write about the obstacle, mm-hmm. and then the rest of it, have it be the resolution, what you learned from it, how you overcame it, and how you are now better prepared to move on with your life. It's not so great when a whole essay is all about gloom and doom, and then there's no resolution. Because what does that tell me? That tells me that maybe you can't roll with the punches. Right. Maybe you have difficulty overcoming things. And trust me, when you go to college, there are going to be a lot of obstacles to overcome. So if you are choosing to write about something that you don't have an answer for, you don't have a resolution for, it makes me worried that maybe you're not ready for the challenges that college is going to bring. Sometimes students have grown up with a lot of disadvantages. You know, mm-hmm. maybe a parent is no longer there, whether it was, you know, estranged, or maybe, you know, God forbid, a death of a parent or another ill family member. Students move around a lot. People lose jobs. You know, we've just been through, you know, the pandemic's been a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a rear view mirror, but we're still feeling the after effects. And remember, it's not about pity. It's about context. So the essay is a good place to share with us anything that might have been going on that could explain maybe a dip in grades or an inconsistent transcript. So, and some essays stick with me for the wrong reasons. Hmm. Like spell check's not always your friend. Hmm. I never forget a couple of them that I use as examples all the time. A student was writing about something, you know, like political. This was a few years ago. This was, might have been, you know, 2020, 2021. And student wrote about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. not Bader, but Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Yeah. Then there was this other essay a couple years ago. Oh boy. The student wrote about a really challenging time. She was a trans student, a trans young woman who was struggling with her relationship with her father. And the story was really compelling, and it could have been a really phenomenal essay, but I kid you not, there were at least 20 words in that essay that I had to look up because I had never heard of them. So she clearly used the thesaurus feature and just thought she had to have all these big words, and the words that she put in just didn't make sense. She talked about saving up her day of inception money to buy something. It's day of inception money. Oh, her birthday money. I mean, it was like things like that. So to sum it up, the topic doesn't really matter as much as the writing skill, the proofreading, the formatting. If you're a funny person, be funny. If you're not a funny person, don't try to be funny. And there are so many really great resources out there. There's a wonderful website called the College Essay Guy. I don't mm-hmm. know if you've ever heard of him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Ethan Sawyer. Oh, yep. My goodness. His resources are so phenomenal. Mm-hmm. There are so many free resources right there on his website. So mm-hmm. I encourage students to check him out and see what kind of advice he has to give as well.
Yeah, absolutely. He's phenomenal. I met him, you know, at the last NACAC conference. He's wonderful. Yep. And like you said, tremendous resources. And I also appreciate what you talked about, that it's not about the topic, but it's really about the writing skills. So students, don't forget to proofread, if I may throw in there, take a break, come back to it, and then repeat those steps, right?
Absolutely. Making it.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yep. And one more piece of advice. And I learned this from my freshman year English composition professor, who was so phenomenal. Read your essay out loud.
Yes.
When you read it out loud, you can literally hear mm-hmm. if something sounds good, or if you're tripping over your words, then something's right. wrong with the flow
right.
and see if there's a better way to do it. Oh, and another piece of advice. I know that there's that word count limit, 650 mm-hmm. words.
Yes.
When you hit 650 words, just keep writing. Don't stop, because you can always go back and edit. I guarantee right. you have repetition, or there are words you can just eliminate altogether. I could do a whole podcast just on the essay, but you can absolutely, just know that somebody who's read thousands of essays mm-hmm. have a lot to say about it.
But my recollection when we did the episode on the common application, if the student submits and it's actually over 650 words, my understanding is that it stops at 650. You don't even see any words exactly. beyond 650. Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's good to just repeat that to make students understand that, maybe you're at 658 and you think, what's the big deal? Well, those last eight words, Suzanne and others right. will not see it. So,
right.
I
it's
appreciate
a text
that.
Box.
Right. Exactly.
Now,
exactly.
I don't know. There's also another space that students can write in.
Mm-hmm, sure.
The additional information space on,
yes.
space on the Common App.
Yes.
And that's important to point out as well, because I mentioned earlier that the essay is a great place to address issues about maybe a dip in grades or something that was going on. But just say you have other things you want to write about.
Mm-hmm.
You want to write your college essay about something more positive, more upbeat, but you still want to let the colleges know that there was something going on in your life. The additional information space is a great place for that. And that's an additional 650 words that you can add to your application. And that's a great space, not only for information about maybe an explanation about something that you went through, but also to add about something you're really proud of. Maybe,
right.
So many students do research and
sure.
they might want to write about research that they've done, or they created a club in their school, or there's just something that they're really proud of, or additional activities they want to write about that they didn't have room for in their activity list in the Common App. The additional information section is a great place for that.
Well, that's great advice, and I'm glad that we mentioned that. And I also want to repeat what you said earlier in terms of the topic. If you're writing about some obstacle, at most it should be 1/3 about the obstacle and 2/3 in terms of how you overcame it, right? So what was your thought process? How did you have to pivot? What were the questions that you asked yourself, your reflection? And at the end, to your point, Suzanne, what was the resolution? How did you overcome it? How did it make you better, right? Because otherwise, many times reps talk about the fact that students might write about an obstacle, but to your point earlier, there's no resolution, right? And so when you're writing like that, students, where you're not showing any growth, it's not really helping your overall application. So again, we
right.
appreciate that, Suzanne. And
right.
visiting campus, of course, is another thing that is so important, if at all possible. Taking tours and spending time on campus, not so easy to be replicated even on a podcast or one of the many great virtual events that schools put together nowadays. So when a student comes to campus, if they're able to, Suzanne, what are the areas that they should visit and what are some questions that they should be asking to help them determine whether or not SUNY Geneseo, for example, is the right fit for them?
Geneseo is a place that is... sometimes people call it like Geneseo land. In my career, I have visited probably over 200 colleges and universities.
Wow.
So yeah, I visited a lot. And there are very few places quite like Geneseo. We are a rural-ish, in a rural-ish setting. I like to say that because we're really, there's a lot around us that's not, there are farms, sure, but there's a lot of resources. Something that is different about Geneseo when you compare us with really all the other SUNYs and a lot of other colleges. So we have a village right next to the campus. So it's really almost part of the campus. And it is a historic village. The village and the college really grew up at the same time. The college was founded in 1871. It's old. It was in existence for a good 75 years or so before the SUNY system was founded. So
Wow. This
is not a place that was quickly slapped together when the SUNY system was created. This place has history, and the village is a registered national landmark, and only 24 communities in the entire country have that distinction. So it is charming. It has festivals and farmers markets and shops and boutiques and restaurants. And it's a lot is jammed into about a 3 or 4 block little small town. So I really encourage folks to have enough time to explore our village, because not just because it's cute and pretty, but that is really part of the student experience. Students really see the village as an extension of the campus, because you step off campus and you're on Main Street. There's no shuttle buses are needed. I'm really not exaggerating. When I'm lucky enough to go to campus, because I'm based on Long Island, so I go to campus several times a year. Very often at lunchtime, my colleagues and I say, "Hey, all right, let's go up to Main Street and get lunch." And in that hour, we've got time to walk up, sit down at a place, order our food, have lunch, walk back, and we're back earlier, on time or early. You know, it is right there. And students also get jobs. The stores and shops are full of student employees. So definitely have time to explore Main Street. That's for sure. Geneseo is also really well known for our beautiful sunsets. So if you can stay long enough to, you know, in the day, whether if you get to town the night before a tour, come down to campus, check out the sunset. Geneseo actually means beautiful valley. And we have sunsets over the valley. It really is they're beautiful. And just Google Geneseo sunsets. You're going to get hundreds of hits for beautiful photos. And then, you know, there are some, you know, certainly like academic based things that you can arrange for in advance. If you know what you're interested in studying, arrange for perhaps a meeting with somebody in that department. And that really should be done in advance. You know, when families show up the day of and they say, "Oh, you know, I'd really love to meet with somebody from the accounting department." Well, you know, this is something that if had, you know, with a little advance notice. My motto in life is, with advanced planning, anything's possible.
Right.
So see if you can do that. You know, we are a very friendly campus, a very accessible campus, and people are very kind. It's in Western New York. It's a little bit of a slower pace. You know, we can make things happen. We do our best to do that. So being arranging for a visit to a department is something that can be done. Now, a little later on in the process, once students are admitted to Geneseo, we have a program called Night for a Day, because we're the Geneseo Knights, K-N-I-G-H-T. And with, you know, again, advance notice, you sign up in advance, we can pair admitted students with current Geneseo students. They can spend the day. They can go to class with them, eat in the dining hall, really kind of see what life is like as a current student. So there are all of those things are available. And if you are planning a visit, and reach out to your admissions counselor beforehand. Anybody from Nassau or Suffolk counties, you can shoot me a quick email saying, "Hey, I'm coming to visit. Do you have any recommendations?" And I always come back with recommendations of things to do. Sometimes I'll take a look at the calendar. And this is a great tip as well. Take a look at the school calendar. Maybe there's something happening on campus when you're visiting.
Right.
A hockey game, a performance at the music department or the dance department or the music department, an a cappella concert, there could be something going on, a film festival. I guess kind of a long list of things that you can do, but with advanced planning, you can really get a robust visit.
Well, it's a great list. I mean, it's long, but also it's a great list, and it just goes to show that, you know, the community is thriving. I love how you talked about the village right next to the campus and how that is so much a part of the student experience, and also setting up in advance a meeting with someone from a particular department or program. Certainly great advice. But lastly, as you said, reaching out to you, right? Whoever your regional admissions representative is, let them know that you're going to be on campus. And frankly, at the end of it all, maybe stay in touch, write them an email. What were your impressions? Did you have any follow-up questions that's not easily found on, in this case, the Geneseo website? Those are things that, you know, we certainly encourage you to do. The admissions reps are there to help. They're all great people, as you can tell from the many I've had on the podcast, and they really want to hear from you, particularly, again, if it's something that is not easily found on their website. So, Suzanne, you mentioned a lot of supports and resources already, but I was curious, what else does SUNY Geneseo offer its students to ensure that they continue to be successful once they're on your campus, both academically and socially?
There are a lot of different services just baked right into the Geneseo experience. First of all, just a reminder, we are a smaller community, about 4,000 students. So mm-hmm. right there, that helps to foster such an incredible sense of community that students tend to not feel lost.
You know, right.
It's big enough that as students walk around campus, they will bump into people they know, but always have new people to meet. You'll mm-hmm. never know everybody, but it's not an overwhelmingly huge place. So right there, that kind of builds in a little bit of a safety net. We have small classes. Our average class size is 22. So in the classroom, you're going to have opportunities to get to know professors and classmates. Since we're primarily an undergraduate institution, the professors are there to help the undergraduate students. There's a tremendous amount of support there. The professors will all have office hours, just like at any college or university. But the difference is when you go to office hours, you're actually going to see the professor, not a graduate mm-hmm. student, not a mm-hmm. TA.
Right.
And there's tutoring available in every subject. We've got the writing lab, math lab. There are academic peer mentors. So if students mm-hmm. are feeling anxious or lost, or they just need some guidance, they can just go see an academic peer mentor. And these are students who are trained to help guide them towards mm-hmm. solutions. And they're not only it's a paid position. So they take it very seriously. In addition to that, when students come in as first year students, there are the orientation leaders. Certainly every college is going to have, you know, freshman orientation is part of it. It's a rite of passage, but our orientation leaders follow their students throughout the whole first year. So the orientation leaders also serve as a support point for new students. So, and they are ready and available for students to reach out to them. A couple other things. There's a program called Geneseo Points of Service, GPS we call it. There is a big list of faculty and staff members that are part of this program. And what this is, it means if students really feel like they don't know where to go for help, they can go to anybody on that list. Doesn't matter what department they're in. And they can make an appointment to go see anybody on that list. And those folks will serve as the in-between to help them figure out the solution to whatever problem they're having. So they don't have to find somebody. Just say they're struggling with, with financial aid. They don't have to go to the financial aid office. They can go to somebody else and say, hey, I'm not really sure what to do here. And that staff member or that faculty member will help them find the solution. I love that program. We also have some special advisors for first-generation students. A good percentage of our students are first-generation. And the definition of a first-generation student is a student whose parents, neither one of them, have a four-year degree, college degrees. So we take special care of our first-generation students as well.
Well, that's awesome, because clearly you have so many resources within your classrooms and beyond to help those students, again, continue to be successful once they're on your campus to make up that SUNY Geneseo community. So thank you so much. And Suzanne, this has been a phenomenal conversation, as I knew it would be. Before I get to that last question, I'm just curious, is there a question that I didn't ask or a topic that I didn't bring up that you'd like to share with us now?
Yeah, you know, what really didn't come up, and it could have at any point, is talking about the concept of demonstrated interest.
Sure.
And demonstrated interest is something that not all colleges track. We do. Quite a few mm-hmm. others do. Not all of them do. So that's actually a great question for students to ask when they're communicating with admissions representatives. Do you track demonstrated interest? We do. What is demonstrated interest? It's the students letting us know that you're interested mm-hmm. in us. As you think about what we talked about earlier with the incredible volume of applications that we received, it's really difficult to know if an application is genuine. Did they just throw us an application because it was free, or are they really interested in SUNY Geneseo? So we look at their level of engagement with us. What does that mean? What does demonstrated interest and level of engagement mean? There are a variety of ways to show demonstrated interest. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. And that is, many, many colleges have a special system where we know if you've opened emails from us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not only if you've opened the email, but when you open the email, what device you were on to open that email. That doesn't really matter whether it's a phone or a computer or iPad or whatever. And if you clicked on a link inside of the email. Right. So right there, I'm sure I just blew some folks' minds right there. We know. So when I'm reviewing an application, I'm going to go look to see, well, have they opened any emails from us? Also, when you go to a college fair and speak with a rep, fill out a card. If there's nothing in writing, it didn't happen. So when I'm reviewing an application, I will see whether or not I spoke with the student at a college fair or at a high school visit. If I went to visit, do they come see me in the school counseling office or wherever those visits take place? I will also check to see, well, did they ever attend any of our webinars? Because we have a lot of free webinars. I'm actually doing one next week, application do's and don'ts. Find it on the Geneseo website. And I repeat this webinar periodically. So there's so many ways that we keep track of when students have had interactions with us. I'm going to give you a little tip here. If you're going to a college fair, make labels with general information. Think about information colleges want to know about you. Your name, your date of birth, home address, the name of your high school, your email address, your cell phone number, your year of high school graduation. So that'll tell us what grade you're in. Any academic interests you may have. I think that's pretty much it. So if you make labels with that information, when you go to a college fair, you can just peel that label off and put it on a card. That does a couple things. One, it gets you in their system. It shows that you are interested in that school. Also, it saves so much time. If a college fair is only, say, an hour and a half long, and you have to spend time filling out cards at each table, that takes up time. If you're able to just peel and stick those labels on a card, you can talk to more people. If you don't fill out a card, we won't know. So the ultimate demonstrated interest is visiting campus. That's a big deal. And maybe there are other ways you set up a time. I offer one-on-one appointments. You can go onto the Geneseo website, click on my picture, and I have a calendar right there. We can do a Zoom appointment. A lot of these ways to demonstrate interest don't cost any money. We know that we are low for a lot of students, at least the students that I work with, it's a trip to come visit us. It's very often students would need to stay overnight, stay in a hotel. It's a lot of gas and tolls and wear and tear on the car. And we get that. We would love for you to come visit, but we also understand that it can be a barrier for some, and we don't want that to be a requirement. So lots of different ways to demonstrate interest.
I'm glad I asked the question because you brought up the very important topic of demonstrating your interest and the fact that SUNY Geneseo students, they do track it. And it is a great question to ask when you're meeting with a college admissions rep, whether or not they track it. I appreciate you talking about the level of engagement and how did a student open an email? Did they click on any of the embedded links? That's very important information. And students, it's something very important for you to do. Number one, if the school tracks it, they're seeing your level of engagement, but perhaps even more important, it's for your own research, right? So when you engage with a school, with an admissions rep, you open the email, you click on the links, it's going to help you determine whether or not that particular school is the right fit. And I love the idea of the labels. That is so great to just help streamline it. Students put your name, your date of birth, your cell number, your email address, your year of graduation, put it on a card so that you could give it to the rep quickly and easily when you're on those huge lines at those many college fairs that we've all been a part of. So, Suzanne, this has been a phenomenal conversation. Unfortunately, it does lead us to that last question, which is, what are your top three pieces of advice that you would provide a student and their parents getting ready for the college admissions process?
Okay, well, here we go. I have a few. Kind of piggybacks on what we just talked about with the email. Create a new email address for the college application process. The way colleges communicate with applicants is through email. And when I say communicate, not just, hey, check us out, or we have a new program. It's, we're missing this document and we need it. Or we want your mid-year grades to make a decision. Or, here's a scholarship opportunity. You don't want to miss that, right? So if you create a new email address that's just for the college application process, keep that sacred. Do not give it out when you're setting up an online account while you're shopping or anything like that, because I mean, I know I have to go into my email and clear out over 100 messages a day.
Always. Yeah.
That are spam, right? So if you have this email address that is just for the applications, that won't happen. Anything that goes into that email will be from colleges that you're interested in. And now your next question is, oh my goodness, so many colleges already have my old email. What do I do? The colleges that you're interested in, that you're truly interested in, you send them an email. You send your admissions counselor an email and you say, this is me. This is my birthday. This is my old email address. Please update my email to this email. Mm-hmm. And we'll do it. We are human beings that work in an office. We will do it. It is easy to do. That I can't tell you how many students have taken me up on that and have thanked me for that. Because think about it, you don't want to miss that email from a school saying, we need one more document, and you don't check your email for a couple of days. And between the time that email was sent and the time you check it, you've gotten 300 Instagram notifications, TikTok notifications, who knows what,
right?
And the message is buried. So that's my number one piece mm-hmm. of advice. Number two is, this is a family decision. And in the beginning of this process, when you're crafting this list of reach, target, and likely schools. And John, I love that you use the term likely and not safety. I don't like the term safety, because if a school is filed in your mind as a safety school, you're not going to want to go there.
Right.
And that is wrong, because sometimes a school that is maybe one that you really feel sure you're going to get into winds mm-hmm. up being the best fit. I love that you use the term likely. So good. That's great. So have a frank discussion with your family about expectations. And I know parents don't like to talk about money with their kids for the most part, but you've got to have that money discussion. I know folks that did not have that money discussion. And then when it came down to it at the end, the students didn't have any affordable options and the families were strapped, and they wound up sending their kids to schools that were really financially too much for them. So you have to have a discussion about finances, about what the family can afford. There is financial aid available, the FAFSA, the profile. If you're applying to CSS profile schools, if you're in New York State, there's the TAP application. Keep up on all those deadlines. You don't want to miss out on that. So make sure you have, while I don't like to use the word safety, make sure mm-hmm. you have one or two financial safety schools on your list. Mm-hmm. So maybe a local school, just in case for at the last minute you can't go away, something comes up, you can commute. Community colleges are always available. They have open enrollment. So if that is the case, you know, we get transfer students from community colleges all the time. So do, you know, all the Ivy League schools as well. So mm-hmm. that's a fine way to start. And keep an open mind is my last piece of advice, because this is a process. Don't get caught up in having to have a first choice school. Hmm. Don't get caught up in having to have a school to apply to early decision. This is a process where it's like a horse race, you know, where, you know, somebody can be in the, a horse can be in the lead, and then somebody can pick the rear. I know, like for my own, I'm the mom of two college graduates. And my older son was 100% gung-ho on one school mm-hmm. that stayed the course. He was admitted. We kept an open mind. We visited everywhere. That first choice school stayed his first choice. And that's 6 years later. He now has a bachelor's and a master's degree from that school. My younger son just graduated from a school where at the very last second, he decided to throw an application in, because why not? And he was like, it's a safety school. That's what he said. And then they came back with a huge scholarship. And right. he went, let me take a look. And this school that was thrown at the last minute was the one he attended and had a great outcome. So keep an open mind in this process, be organized, and be in touch with your admissions counselors, because we're here to help. We really are.
Well, you definitely help every day when you're at college fairs, on campus, off campus, and you certainly have been a tremendous help during this podcast episode, as I knew it would be. Suzanne, You're awesome. This was awesome. I'm so grateful to have you. And I am going to invite you again. So keep an eye out for that invite in the future. Thank you so much for everything you did today, Suzanne.
You're welcome, John. It's absolutely my pleasure. I've been in this field for so long. I feel like I have so much to share. So yeah, invite me back anytime.
Well, you have a tremendous amount to share, and I will invite you back. Thank you so much, Suzanne. And to everyone out there, good luck with the college process all. Take care and best wishes.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please don't forget to tell a friend and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. I am your host, John Durante, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The CAP.
Hey, podcast friends. If you've been enjoying the College Admissions Process Podcast, I'm excited to share my new book, Straight from the Admissions Office, Insider Strategies for College Applications. It's packed with insights and tips from over 250 podcast episodes with admissions professionals designed to make the college process less overwhelming. Whether you're a student, parent, or college counselor, it's a valuable resource for navigating the admissions process. By grabbing a copy, you're also helping to support the podcast. The links are in the show notes. Thank you, and best wishes to all with the college admissions process.